In 2 days' time, on the 7th of July, the decision of an appeal court in France is set to determine if Marine Le Pen, leader of the far-right National Rally, can run for president for the fourth time in France. Le Pen's currently banned from running for office for 5 years after being convicted over misuse of EU funds. But if her conviction stands and the ban remains part of her penalty, the National Rally's candidate in the next presidential election is likely to be 30-year-old Jordan Bardella. Sophie Petter, Paris bureau chief at The Economist, recently had a coffee with Mr. Bardella at the European Parliament, where he's currently a member. Sophie, welcome back to Sunday Extra.
Thanks very much for having me again.
Now, before we come to Mr. Bardella, could you tell us a little bit more, please, about what's at stake in this impending appeal decision?
Well, it's huge for the party, obviously, because they had always thought that Marine Le Pen would be the candidate. And if the Court of Appeal upholds the ban, she won't be. And so that is going to be a huge disappointment to her, a huge personal disappointment. She was looking forward to her fourth presidential bid. And it will mean that she hands over to someone who is very untested, very young. But they've agreed he will be the candidate in her place, and that will suddenly put him in the spotlight. So I think for them, it's a huge moment, and it's been creating a lot of tension. You can feel it around them at the moment, waiting for this decision.
I understand that even if Marine Le Pen loses the appeal, she could still appeal again to France's very highest court. But it seems that the agreement between Bardella and Le Pen would still go into place, even if she appeals that decision. Is that right?
That's right. That's what they've decided. I think that she probably won't appeal again. I think she will just decide she wants to draw a line under this and focus on the presidential campaign. Because, of course, even if Jordan Bardella, the 30-year-old, her protege, is the candidate, don't forget that that doesn't mean she can't be whispering in his ear, at his side, taking part as a party supporter, a party member. That doesn't put her, you know, out of the picture. So I think we're close enough to the presidential election next April and May for it to be something they now want to focus on rather than, I think, have yet more judicial uncertainty hanging over them. That's the way I understand it.
Of course, the current president, Emmanuel Macron, can't run again after his two terms as president. Now, when he was elected, he was the youngest French president ever, first elected at just the age of 39. If Jordan Bardella succeeds him, he'll smash that record. Could you give us a bit of an introduction to Jordan Bardella's really extraordinary political story?
It is a quite unusual backstory, really. He was born in one of the northern suburbs of Paris, pretty difficult, one of the poorest suburbs in the entire country, actually, and grew up in a tower block in social housing, raised by a single mother. His parents are of Italian origin, so he has himself an immigrant background, despite the fact that he's very anti-immigration, which is interesting. And he, you know, he's never gone to any of the sort of elite schools that the people who go into politics in France tend to go to. So he's very much from the other side of the tracks, as it were. But he caught Marine Le Pen's eye early on. She promoted him very fast. He has risen up the ranks of the party, and it's almost been like a sort of university of a different sort, which is inside the party, he has learnt everything. And his official title is president of the party already. She handed it over to him. So that's where he is. And he's untested. He's not just young, but he's inexperienced. He hasn't worked outside party life. So although he's very popular in France, he is not someone who has ever held any sort of position of responsibility outside the party.
You mentioned his parents being migrants from Italy. How does Jordan Bardella himself square that family migration story with his anti-immigration politics and stance?
It's quite interesting. I mean, I put this to him, and it's in line, I suppose, with quite a lot of populist or right-wing politicians who have the same experience. You know, they can be more anti-immigrant than people who don't have that sort of background. He talks about his parents' generation as one that made an effort to learn the language, to learn the culture, to sort of integrate with French life. And you can sense that he approves of that, that he feels that's what people should do who come to France. And I think that his problem with immigration seems to be about people who don't do that, you know, who want to hold on to their culture, who want to hold on to their language. And that is something that he feels very strongly shouldn't be the case. And I get the impression that that's really what sort of motivates his hardline immigration policy. He talks about waves, about being submerged, about France, you know, having an existential question because of immigration. One gets the feeling that it's something to do with the fact that, you know, not everyone can be like his parents. And that seems to really bother him.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with The Economist's Paris bureau chief, Sophie Petter, about the very young man who could be France's next president. Sophie, you met with Jordan Bardella, had a coffee with him. What were your impressions of him up close and personal?
Very much, I would say, a politician of his generation. You know, he is smooth, very good at speaking to the media, very trained. He knows how to smile at just the right moment. You know, he's very professional, I would say. He doesn't come across with the sort of airs and graces that you have sometimes with old school French politicians who've been around in the Senate for, you know, 30 years and have a very different kind of style. He is engaging. He takes questions seriously. He seems to think about them and, you know, not trying to sort of just brush them aside. He was quite frank with me, I felt. That seems to tally, I would say, with his public persona. I mean, this is somebody who is very smooth, very well rehearsed on TV. He does sometimes put a foot wrong, but not often. He's very controlled. And he has also absolutely got the sort of younger generation on his side. He posts all these TikTok videos. He's got over 2 million followers on TikTok, and he posts jokey things of him eating sweets or, you know, working out in the gym. So you can tell he's mastered political communication pretty well, and that comes across in person as well as on screen, I would say.
So clearly a naturally effective and well-practiced political communicator. Did he strike you as somebody who also has been assiduous in getting across the details of policy and has at least the capacity, if not the experience, to be a good executive in government?
Look, it's very difficult to tell that. I mean, in terms of the policy detail, he works very hard at learning stuff and he works on his dossiers. And everyone I spoke to around him in preparing for that story I wrote said the same thing. You know, he works very hard because I think he doesn't want to be caught out. He wants to be in control and he has a good memory. But, you know, that is not the same as governing a country. And this is where there is just a huge question mark. You know, if you look at what someone like President Macron has to do in 24 hours, the number of decisions, the number of incredibly difficult trade-offs and arbitrage that he has to do, it's an extremely challenging job for anybody, let alone someone who next year will be 31 years old. So I think that you can be relatively well prepared and yet be not prepared at all for a job like that. That's why I come back to this idea that he's just so untested.
And you've got a bit of form, Sophie, in having coffees with people who might end up being president of France. You interviewed Emmanuel Macron very early in his career as well, although even at the age of 39, he had more executive experience going into the presidency. But were there any similarities that struck you between speaking with Jordan Bardella and the young Emmanuel Macron?
That's such a good question, and I have to think about it. So I would say there are some similarities. They're probably quite superficial ones. They are the quite natural engagement that they both have. If you speak to Macron one-on-one, he is very engaging, very direct, takes very seriously the conversation and is very focused, and that is very similar with Bardella. I think the big difference, it's not just an executive experience that Macron had. He'd already been economy minister back in 2016 when he resigned to then run for the presidency later on that year and win it the following year. I think that the difference is a sense of the sort of depth of the vision. I think there are very few politicians like Macron, and I think it's probably unfair to start comparing almost any of the politicians who are running for office today with him, who have that same depth of vision about geopolitics, populism, the way the economy is changing, how AI fits into all of that, this huge spectrum of questions that now politicians have to deal with. Macron can kind of join the dots in all of that, and I'm not sure that almost anyone else can. So I don't think it would be fair to compare them, but I think the one similarity would be professionalism and the personal engagement that they both have.
As you've said, Jordan Bardella is very much Marine Le Pen's protege. Are his politics or policies substantially different from hers in meaningful ways?
I mean, they both belong, obviously, to what you could either call the populist right or the far right or the hard right. In a lot of issues, there's almost no difference whatsoever. One subject where they're in complete agreement is immigration. They are both very hardline. There are differences, and the differences are mostly to do with economic policy, I would say. I think that what Jordan Bardella is trying to do and how he thinks that he would if he was a candidate is to try and build on the sort of working class base that is more left-leaning with a sort of appeal to more bourgeois, better-off voters who want a more business-friendly sort of tax-cutting agenda from their candidate. And he's trying to bridge that divide. It's not easy. She's very much a product of the Northern France Rust Belt where she was elected or is elected as an MP at the moment. And he, I think, wants to try to broaden that out. So they do differ on that. And that comes through on some policy differences about the pension age or some of the detail of economic policy. So I think what we'll see if he's the candidate is obviously he will try to assert his version of policy on the party and on the candidacy, because a French presidential election is very much about a person and what that person believes. And they can really shape the campaign the way they want it. They are not really just a creature of the party.
Does current polling suggest that either Le Pen or Bardella would fare significantly better as the National Rally's candidate for president?
The very similar profile on the polls. I mean, what's just so striking is how both of them are way ahead. It's a two-round presidential vote in France. They are so far ahead in the first round. You have them at 35-36% of the vote, and the next best placed candidate is in the high teens. So, I mean, we're looking at double the vote for the first round. Second round, they both have a chance of winning. Recent polls suggest that Bardella in particular would do well. We're a long way out of the presidential election, so I'm always a little bit nervous about reading too much into polls at this point. But at the moment, it looks like they're fairly interchangeable if you base it just on the polls.
But presumably it'd be the same scenario where in the second round, all the other centrist and left votes would be combined in some sort of united push to keep the right out. Does it look like at this stage that would be a higher hill to climb in this election than the previous one?
No, it doesn't. I think that what the polls are currently suggesting, and they've never suggested this ever for a previous election with Marine Le Pen, that both of them could win a second round. You have to get over 50%. The polls suggest they could, which is astonishing, even against, you know, the best placed centrist, centre-right candidate, someone like Edouard Philippe, who was one of Macron's prime ministers. There were two polls that came out in May that suggested he would not beat either Le Pen or Bardella. So this is unprecedented. I think it's important to get that in one's mind. You know, we're not looking at an election where this is an impossibility for them. As we speak, this is a probability. Everything could change, but that is what we're looking at now.
And just finally, Sophie, with this all or nothing court case decision impending, would you say there is an increasing sense now that Jordan Bardella is really likely to be the next presidential candidate for the National Rally?
Nobody knows what the Court of Appeal is going to decide. And I don't think they know either. I really pick up a sense of nervousness about this situation because of the uncertainty. And I think that's genuine. It is going to be a difficult one for the judges as well, because they're not supposed to take into consideration any political implications of their decision. But a Court of Appeal hearing in France is a retrial. They went through the whole case all over again earlier this year. So they have crawled back over all the detail. And one possibility is they could decide that Marine Le Pen is guilty, but reduce her sentence. The sentence, as you said earlier, is a 5-year ban. So they could reduce it to 2. If they reduced it to 2, she'd be able to stand. That would be a very awkward situation, because she'd be able to stand from March next year for an election that starts in April. So there is also a third scenario, which would, I think, almost be the worst for them, because they would end up campaigning without her being able to campaign until the last minute. So no one knows. But I sense from Bardella, from speaking to him, that he is definitely preparing for that possibility. And he's had a couple of years nearly to start absorbing it, because it's a very heavy responsibility for someone at that age. And I think he's realized that.
Well, it's certainly going to be a fascinating week, and indeed a fascinating year leading up to the presidential election. Sophie Petter, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
You're very welcome. Always good to speak to you. Thanks, Julian.
And Sophie is the Paris correspondent for The Economist, and she recently wrote in The Economist, "Meeting Jordan Bardella, France's possible president."
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.